We'd like to address the issue today, the mitzvah of tzedakah, in honor of Parshas Truma. And people have all sorts of issues and questions about how to give tzedakah, how much money should they give here and there, and what preference should they give, what precedence to this tzedakah, that tzedakah. And these are very complex halachas that should be taken quite seriously. We know that there's a chiv of Maisar Ksofim. According to most poskim, one is required to give 10% of his income if he has the ability to do so. And with that 10%, a lot of things can be accomplished. Much of mitzvah tzedakah and truma can be achieved. And the question here is how to organize oneself, how to set up a precedence, what we call in halacha kedima. We have, for example, the sugi at the end of Horios with regard to pinyan shvuyim, and that's considered pikuach nefesh, kedima, who do you save first, triage if you can't save everyone. And we have a system in tzedakah that parallels that sugi at the end of Horios. The Rambam in Hilchos Matnas Aniyim dedicates almost an entire chapter to this question of precedence, of how to set up a priority system for one's giving of tzedakah. This system is something that has to be understood in two different ways. Number one, in terms of who it is that you're giving to, meaning let's look at the recipient and place him in a category. We'll classify all the recipients into different categories and try to give a priority list for those different categories. And on the other side of the coin, which is no less important, is the issue of not the recipient, but rather the need itself. You know, what are the guidelines for how to divvy up my money for various needs? There are some needs that should come first. Some organizations, perhaps, that I should give precedence to if I only have a limited amount of funds. And then there's another general issue in tzedakah about future needs. You know, can I set aside money that I don't need immediately, but I know there's going to be a need down the line? And where do my family needs come in? And what's considered beyond the basic needs? You know, how do we draw the line between needs and luxuries? And that question also comes under two different categories. Number one, at one point do I say, well, I have enough of an income to cover my needs, but maybe I have other things that I want money for which are not exactly needs. Maybe they cross the line. Maybe they're defined as luxuries. And on the other hand, in terms of giving out funds, obviously I want to give out funds to someone who has a basic need. You know, he needs food, he needs clothing, he needs shelter. That would come first, before someone who is asking for something that might be defined as a luxury. You know, what about an apartment? Somebody wants to buy an apartment. You know, you could say to him, rent an apartment. Why do I have to chip in for you to buy an apartment? So that's just to give a flavor of what this is all about. In Parshas Truma, we see that v'yitnu and v'yikru. V'yikru means we take, because in a sense, when you give, you take. And all the Mefarshim are famous, the Darshanim, for telling us how much of an impact tzedakah has on the donor, not just on the recipient. The word v'yitnu can be read in two ways, because it boomerangs back, so to speak. What you give, you get back. And ahava, love for someone, comes to the word hav, to give. The more you give, the more you love. And the question is how to set up this system of kedima. So without further ado, let's consider that the first order of priority in terms of the recipient, setting up the classes and the classifications for the recipient, would be the recipient's category. And we have to break up recipients into two basic categories and then subdivide them into smaller categories. There's relatives and there are non-relatives. And obviously, relatives are going to get precedence. And we're going to have to see where that comes from. What's the source for that halacha? Where does it emanate from that I give first to my relatives? Now, Before we see the Sifri and Parshas Re'eh on this issue, I would like to point out that with regard to relatives, we have to, in a sense, break up relatives into two categories. And there's something called Chayecha Kodmin, which means I have to worry about my own needs before that of my relatives. But I think within that context of Chayecha, we can broaden it a bit and apply the principle of Ishto Kegufo. When I define my needs, I don't define my needs only in terms of me, myself, and I, but also in terms of my wife, myself, and I. And I think we can even expand that circle to include children. Let's talk about small children. The easiest case in halacha would be children below the age of 6. And that certainly comes into the category, into the turf of Chayecha Kodmin. Before I try to set up a system of who goes first, some sort of order of priorities for the recipients, I first have to make sure that I've taken care of myself, my wife, and my small children. That really comes under Chayecha. That means my basic obligation, my basic need to save myself first. And that's how the halacha sees it. So before I decide whether I should give to a Talmud Chacham, whether I should give to this relative or that relative, first I have to make sure that I've covered myself, my wife, and my small children. And that goes as far as basic needs are concerned. You know, I'd have to give my six sofim if I have more income than I need for my basic needs. And every society is a little bit different. And we see this in Ksubis also, in terms of the chiyuv of the Baal, to pay for mizonos of Ishto, to support his wife. What's considered the standard for support that a wife can demand within the framework of a Ksuba? And the answer is it depends on the particular society you live in. In certain societies, if you wear the same shirt more than a day in a row, 2 days in a row, then you don't have your basic needs. In other societies, you can wear a shirt for a week. So to some extent, we really have to confer or consult with someone who's an expert. Perhaps you can look in the welfare, in social welfare, in different experts in society and sociology to figure out in that particular chevra what is considered standard, what's considered a basic need. So for example, most poskim will say, and the Aruch HaShulchan expands on this in Hilchos Tzedakah, which is Siman Reish Nun Aleph in Yerideya, that if a person lives in a standard of society and he cannot purchase what he needs, his basic needs, then he doesn't have a chiyuv of separating maaser at all. The mitzvah of maaser doesn't apply to someone who still needs a parnasa. If he has beyond a parnasa, that means he can mefarnes his bnei bayis karoy lahem. Karoy lahem means with the food that he needs. And I'm not talking about bare, you know, basic, you know, what we say, a piece of herring and a hard piece of bread with a drop of water. No, I'm talking about lechem, basar, tafshilin. There's clothing to be worn, and these are the basic needs. Then if you have those basic needs, that's considered that you have a parnasa. And anything beyond that, you can talk about a chiyuv maaser. But when you talk about someone who doesn't have the money for his wife and his children for basic needs, then for sure he's not chayev mice. That's the Aruch HaShulchan's opinion. There are other tshuvas that want to say maybe he should be mafresh meiser, but he doesn't have to give it to anyone but himself, and that's a different kind of mechanical issue. And we should keep in mind that meiser is something that we should be makpid on. Perhaps some go very far and they say you should have a separate account, or at least calculate no less scrupulous meticulousness than an accountant would calculate your income, what exactly is the amount of maaser that you have to give. So the Aruch HaShulchan's language is ish shemarviach parnasoso kibalabayis Sha'ochel karoy, lechem ubasar v'tavshil v'lovash u'mechasas atzmo karoy, vaday chayev b'tztaka meiser on chomesh. He even mentions that you can go beyond meiser up to 20% miparnososo. And then he says v'chilik gadol me'atztaka yitein l'krovav, a large percentage, not all, we'll speak about this later, of his income, of his designated tzedakah money, his meiser money, should go to krovim, and then to aniei iro, the local poor people, the destitute in his city. But he says he should leave ma'at michiyuvo, some percentage of his meiser should be designated also for rechokim, for people who live in different cities. So let's say we've defined, and again this is not so simple, the basic needs, and therefore we have parnasa baruch Hashem. So beyond that, we get into the mitzvah of tzedakah, and we're emphasizing relatives. So as I said at the outset, the source for this halacha of relatives who take priority in tzedakah as recipients, that's a sifri in Parshas Re'eh. The Torah says ki yeh b'cha evyon. So there's an emphasis first and foremost on Echad Achicha, your brother. We'll see what that refers to, but certainly it's a relative. Biachad Sharecha, in one of the cities, Biarzacha in Eretz Yisrael. And then the Torah gives us a lav of Lo Si Ameitz as Levovcha, Lo Sikpatz as Yodcha, Miachicha Evyon. And the Sifri says Achicha is Achicha Meavicha, but then the Torah adds again an extra word, and it says me'achicha evyon. What's the second me'achicha teaching me? Is achicha me'imecha. And here the Sifri establishes the famous principle and priorities that achicha me'avicha kodem li'achicha me'imecha. So if you have a half brother, so it depends who gets first dibs at your tzedakah money. If he's a half brother because you share the same father, and the other half-brother, you share the same mother, then the brother from your father gets precedence. This Sifri, would seem to give us a clue, almost a heads up, as to how these dinim of kedima within relatives, because now we have two relatives that are vying for the same money, the same tzedakah that you have to give out, who comes first? And the answer seems to be that it depends on the laws of Yerusha. And this we'll find in Tshuvas. The Stechemet is very big on this idea of everything that's told in Yerusha. Who inherits first? And the laws of Yerusha, which are formulated in the parak called Yesh Noklin Bava Basra, will establish that Krovim Me'av come before Krovim Me'aim, because in Yerusha there's Halacha of Av. And yet, we're going to see over and over again in the Poskim, the Baal HaFlo is very big on this, that even a sister is considered a relative as far as receiving tzedakah, which means that we're going to have to expand our definition of krovim and our criterion of krovim to what we call hilchus psui edus. So this is very fascinating. We have two different systems, halachic systems, that operate within the context of krovim, of defining relatives. One is dina yerusha, you know, who inherits first, and there everything depends upon the father, right? Because the Torah says in Parshas Pinchas, and when we count Bnei Yisrael, it's Beis Avosav, it goes through the father. And we know the Shvatim and the inheritance laws depend upon relatives through the father. But on the other hand, there's an expanded definition and a map of relatives that is set up and generated by the laws of Psui Edus. And Psui Edus is very expansive. A brother cannot testify against his sister or vice versa. He cannot even testify in favor of his sister. And all this is Dine Krova Liedus. So the Hafla makes a point that don't think that we can reduce the halachas of priority of Kedima in tzedakah simply to Dine Yerusha, Kedima in Yerusha, because that's not so. We have to go beyond to include relatives that aren't necessarily, they don't necessarily step in line in terms of the arrangement of Yerusha, but they fit into the broader categories we said of Psulei Edus. Now, we didn't finish the Sifri. Getting back to the Sifri darshens the next phrase in the pasuk, "Biachad sharecha," and says the Sifri Melamed she anshe ircha kodmim li anshe ir acheres. So, if you have two choices, and let's assume neither of them are related to you, and both have the same need. Again, these are all conditions, and so everything is equal except for the fact that this one lives locally, the other one comes from another city. You give tzedakah to the one who shares the same city that you live in. And living in, usually the Gemara Bava Basra says, depends upon 30 days. So if you've already checked into the land 30 days, then you're already considered a Ben Ir, that the Gemara there on Daf Ches is talking about tax law. And that would apply here as well to set up the din of Aniyei Ir Chakodem. Now, these laws get very complicated when you find business people who live in different places. And it's very difficult to determine where is their primary residence. You know, for tax purposes, they may declare a certain place as their primary residence, but that's not the halachic definition of primary residence. And perhaps it would depend on Rove, where he lives most of his days, but that's not so simple. In any event, in the simple case, you live here, you've already checked in, you've been here for a month, you're a Ben Ir, and you have an obligation to those who live inhabit in the same city here, that now that you've moved in. And then for the same part, in terms of the two Aniyim, if one of the Aniyim has already established his domicile here in this city for 30 days, he becomes Aniyei Ircha, and he gets Kedima over Aniyei Ir Acheres. Now the next word in the Pasuk in Parshas Re'eh is Biartzecha, and the Sifri continues. What's Biartzecha? Biartzecha refers to Yoshvei Eretz Yisrael Shekodmim liYoshvei Chutzlaretz. And then the Sifri goes on to be marbe all poor people with the pasuk Asher Hashem Elokecha Nosein Lecha leRabos Kol Mokom. I don't know exactly why the Sifri needed a special pasuk for a ribui for those who live in Ir Acheres and do not dwell in Eretz Yisrael. I mean, what we think? I mean, there's certainly Jews, and we even have Ribuyim Lachyoso for a Ger Toshav. So certainly any Jew has the right to expect Tzedakah. So that's a question on the Sifri. But be that as it may, there's a halacha here of Toshav Eretz Yisrael, Aniyei Eretz Yisrael. Now, in the context of Aniyei Eretz Yisrael, and to try to answer more of a philosophical or at least a halachic question about why Aniyei Eretz Yisrael get a special status in Kedima, I would suggest the following. I mean, it may be a little bit way out to say this, and we'll see if I can bring some more proofs to this point, that by supporting Yoshvei Eretz Yisrael, not only do you achieve a mitzvah of tzedakah, but in addition you gain the mitzvah of yeshiva Eretz Yisrael. Meaning that in addition to your personal physical obligation to live in Eretz Yisrael, you get at least a partial kiyum of Eretz Yisrael vicariously through others living in Eretz Yisrael if you facilitate their ability to live in Eretz Yisrael. And that's Aniyei Eretz Yisrael kodmim. Well, we'll have to see, after we finish our discussion about relatives, what happens if you have Aniyei Ircha and Aniyei Eretz Yisrael, who gets Kedima. The simple pshat in the presentation of the Sifri would seem to indicate that Aniyei Ircha Kodmin, even if the other person is coming from Eretz Yisrael. Your first chiyuv, as far as Aniyim beyond relatives, is to the Aniyei Ircha. In any event, we will see in Rishonim, a whole slew of Rishonim in Hilchas Tzedakah, that this halach of kedima for relatives that's derived by the Sifri from the parasha in Re'eh is Doraisa. Most of us walk around the misimpression that these are derabbanan, these are rabbinic laws that were instituted in order to help us to help facilitate our ability to give out stock in a rational sort of way with a priority list. But in fact, we're talking about dinim Doraisa. And the chiyuv on a relative to sustain another relative comes under the mitzvah say of achei achicha imach, and also ki yebcha evyon me'acha me'echad achicha is lo samitz l'slavavcha. So we're talking about some very serious dinim. Now, whether or not the mitzvah written here in these parashas goes beyond financial help into other kinds of chesed or Talmud Torah and so forth and so on. That's an interesting issue in the Tana de Be'eliyahu. The Gaon at the beginning of Hilchos Talmud Torah takes this Tana de Be'eliyahu very seriously as the source for a father's obligation to teach his son Torah. And this is one of the various drushes that the Tana de Be'eliyahu has on the Pasuk in Yeshayahu. Halo pros l'ra'ev lachmecha, which he interprets Ein Ra'ev El Divrei Torah. That's interesting. But there's another drasha in the same Tana de Be'eliyahu, it's all in Perikov Zion, that im yesh lo li'odem bezonus besof beso mevakesh lasmem tztoka she'yisfarnes acher mishalo keitzad yaseh betchila yifarnes es oviv v'imo v'im hosir yifarnes es echov ve'ach yosav v'im hosir yifarnes b'nei mishpachto. The Tana de Be'eliyahu sets up a tripod here, a three-part level of priorities. First he starts with Ovi V'imo, and there again the mitzvah of tzedakah is pumped up by Kibud Av V'Em, even though we pass in Kibud Av V'Em Mishalav, but in this case your father can't give you the money to be mechabin him because he doesn't have the money, he's destitute, so therefore you have a primary chiyuv here, which would be first on the list once you've covered your own needs, and as I said at the outset, own meaning yours, your wife and your small children, is to offer your parents the help they need, if they need financial support, they need parnasa. And then we get to the second level, and that is his brothers, his sisters, and then beyond that we go to the rest of the family. Now, usually in poskim, when we talk about parents, we include grandparents as well. So we can really make a hodgepodge here, a new category, a package deal called parents and grandparents. We found that in Hilchas Yichud as well, where you there's no isa yichud of a parent with a child of the opposite gender, and that applies to grandparents and grandchildren as well. And that's the principle which is formulated in the Gemara in Yevamos, the famous sugya of Bnei Bonim, Harehen Kebonim. Once again, we see this in Hilchas Talmud Torah, that you have to teach your grandchildren Torah. So grandchildren are like children to some extent, not exactly. If there was a choice between parents and grandparents, your primary chiyuv in tzedakah would be towards your parents. But those are the two categories, parents and grandparents, that come really top on the list of krovim. And only afterwards do you expand to include siblings. Now, siblings are next on the list, and it would seem that your brother comes before your sister, but we want to make the following point. Siblings, let's not think about our blood relative, because it could be in-laws as well. Meaning, let's say you have a brother-in-law, and he's trying to be mefarnes your sister and his mishpacha. That would come pretty high up. Or your brother-in-law, let's say, for example, your brother has to be mefarnes his mishpacha, your sister-in-law, and his children. Then even though, again, as far as dinei kurv is concerned, I would say nephews and nieces are a little bit lower down on the list. But nevertheless, I would jack them up higher, because we should look at the family unit, and if you're chayiv as a primary chiyuv of tzedakah towards your brother and your sister, then I would include your nephews and your nieces as well. It's all part of that package deal. Again, there are 1,001 nuances here and cases that could come up about priorities, but as a general rule, we'll group parents and grandparents, and then we'll group brothers and sisters and their families. Now, with regard to parents and grandparents, the question is going to be, which I'd like to push off for the time being, what about in-laws? In other words, you're giving maisa from your money, do you have to support your in-laws if they're in need? And that's going to be a fascinating discussion. But now, I just want to go off a little bit to the side here, off on the on a digression, in terms of the general philosophical halachic approach to one's obligation, his sense of moral responsibility vis-a-vis his relatives, in this case in tzedakah, there's a statement of the Sefer HaChassidim, that's always an interesting Sefer, and he speaks about someone who's merachem on others who are not related to him, on rechokim, but he's achzori, but he is callous and cruel with regard to his krovim. In other words, he turns around upside down, inside out, this priority list, leaving his krovim out. And he says, kol merachem al ha'achzor ein merachem al rachmonim. He thinks he can fulfill his mitzvah of tzedakah and be mefarnis acherim when he knows that his parents or his brothers and sisters and siblings need, they're destitute, and he doesn't have any compassion on them. So he's big, you know, he sends out big checks to others, but not to his own family relatives. He says, Osan Atzman Shu Mefarnes, he promises you, in a sense, or curses you, that at the end of the day, Lubasof Yuach Zarim Olaf, when you'll be in need, even those that you supported will have no, you know, as a punishment for your crime, they will have no sympathy for you. They won't even have a sense, a natural sense innate of gratitude. Very strong, harsh words against someone who extends his compassion to others who are not related to him, non-relatives, but he is cruel, heartless, and deaf to the pleas and the needs of his own relatives. So we should keep that in mind as we study this mitzvah of achicha, melamich achicha kodem, that your relatives come first. Let's see if we can create a certain kind of a list. We've already begun to do so based on the Sifri of who comes first. There are going to be priorities amongst relatives and, as we said before, amongst different funds and needs. With regard to relatives, the situation gets complicated because it seems that there is one category of individuals who sort of cut the line. Meaning, even though they're not related to you, they have the status of quasi-relatives. In fact, the status of a father almost. As we said, the father is number one on the list if he's in need. And who is this individual that I have in mind who has the status of a father as far as tzedakah is concerned? I have in mind a Rebbe, because the Mishnah says in Bava Metzia that if you find two avedos, you pick up two lost objects, and you know that one has to be returned to your Rebbe, the other to your father, then you return the lost object to your Rebbe first before your father, and that's again a din of kedima. And why? Because even though avicha heviacha leolam hazel lechay olam hazel, nevertheless rabcha heviacha lechay olam haba. So in terms of creating your existence, the Rebbe has done more for you than the father. The father is your biological father who brought you into this physical world, but this world is limited. And your Rebbe, on the other hand, gave you the wherewithal and the ability to enter into the world to come, the infinite world of Olam Haba. But here the poskim get into a very complex issue. It's something that I intend, Mirtz Hashem, to speak about Bli Neder when we get to the laws of Talmud Torah. And that is Ma'ani Bechinam Afatem Bechinam. The Rebbe, if he teaches you gratis and he doesn't take any money for that, then you have a special obligation to do chesed to him under the halacha of Rabcha Yimora, Rabcha Kamora Shamayim, and the fact that he's Meviachal L'chaye Olam Haba. And the Ramon Yoredeya, in this case it's Simon Reish Mem Beis, where he's talking about Hashavas Aveda, he brings down this halacha of Kedima of a Rebbe. And he's talking about a Rebbe who teaches you gratis without taking money for it. And he gets precedence over your own father. Now, whether or not this would apply practically bizman hazeh, that if you had $100 to give away, you'd give it to your Rebbe because he taught you gratis and not give it to your father? I don't know. I have certain hesitations. The Ramah does quote this lahalacha. And the reason I say so is because most of us have many, many different rebbeim. It's very hard to pinpoint who our Rebbe Muvhak is. Who's the outstanding Rebbe that we have such a respect for because he brought us into Olam Haba. He guaranteed our merit in the future world, the world to come. Not only that, a lot of our studies come from the Rishonim and the Achronim that we learn. That too should not be underestimated. That has a significance. So where am I getting my Torah from? I'm getting it from a host of different sources. It's almost impossible to pinpoint one person and say that what I am is because of him. I think my Rebbe, the Rav Zichron Avracha, Rav Yoshe Ber Soloveitchik, would have clearly said that his Rebbe, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, was his Rebbe. Rebbe Muvhak in the full sense with all the dinim, and that's the person who gave my Rebbe his Derech HaLimud, his methodology, his ability to unlock the mysteries of the Torah. However, keep in mind that my Rebbe's Rebbe was also my Rebbe's father at the same time. So this issue of who comes first, the Rebbe or the father, would not be relevant in that particular case. Now, what about a Rebbe who receives a salary, and yet that salary does not cover his needs? So the Rebbe needs parnasa beyond his salary. He's not teaching my son free of charge. What's his status? Does he have rights to tzedakah? And the Ramah seems to be liberal about that, to be willing to expand the definition of Rebbe here to include even a Rebbe who receives payment for his teaching for Torah. And the first question that arises in my mind, isn't that a violation of ma'ani b'chinam afato b'chinam? And the answer might be, I would take this in one of two directions offhand, and it could be that this Rebbe taught my son Torah, and that gives him status, because as we said, the family unit is one, and then he might have taught my son Torah Shebichsav, for which he's allowed to be paid. So giving him funds in this case would not in any way undermine his kiyum of Talmud Torah, and therefore he has a din of a Rebbe, at least for my son, and maybe for me as well. If, however, we're talking about a Rebbe who's teaching older children, or he taught me when I was older, and that means he taught me Torah Shebaal Peh, and he gave me a Derech HaLimud, in such a case, he really doesn't technically have rights to take money. But the answer to this dilemma might be that there are various heterim and licenses to receive money, because basically we're in a situation where if a person doesn't get paid, he won't bother teaching. He simply will have to eke out a living. He'll dedicate his entire time to a parnasa. He won't be able to teach. So for that we have allowances, and it's a whole sugya nedarim. And the Rambam says if you don't find someone to teach your son b'chinam, then pay for it. And the Rambam derives that from a pasuk in Mishlei, Emes Kenei. So I would say that such a Rebbe would, in a sense, merit upfront. I'm not sure if a Rebbe who gets paid should be put in front of a father or a grandfather, but I would definitely put him very high on top of the list. So again, just I hope I was clear that there is this category of a Rebbe who jumps the gun over here, he jumps into line, he comes before a father in his need for tzedakah, but that's only if he hasn't been paid. Okay. So leaving out the case of a Rebbe, we've got parents and grandparents up on the list. And then we have to ask ourselves the question of grandchildren. The poskim assume excuse me, that grandchildren likewise get kedima. And I find that fascinating, because if we're applying the principle of Bnei Bonim Arayim Kibonim, then maybe grandchildren should be part of the original halach that we spoke about of Chayecha Kodmit. That really, they're part of the original unit, which includes yourself, your wife, and your small children. Why not your small grandchildren? So that's a question that has to be dealt with. And the nafkamina would be who comes first, grandchildren or siblings, brothers and sisters. I would certainly think that grandchildren should come first. So if we have parents and grandparents, and again, we've included already the person and his own children, then I would put next on the list, leaving Revi on the side, one's grandchildren. Now, I have here a discussion about giving Meiser Ksafim to in a case where one would normally not be chayev to give Meiser. Let's say, for example, we discussed before the situation of someone who doesn't really have a parnasa. He's not able to cover his basic needs. And even if he lives very very modestly, nevertheless, he has something, you know, some monies that he wants to give. What would the halacha say about such a person? Can he offer to give Meiser that, in a sense, he's biting into his own needs? And I think that he has to consider the possibility that his family might suffer as a result. And even though it's very praiseworthy that he wants to give Meiser, even though he's not covering his own basic needs, I'm not sure if in this case we can encourage him to do so. Now, we have brothers and sisters, and they certainly come next on line, and in Dina Yerusha, they come next on line. But then we go up to the parents. So let's say we've covered our parents, our grandparents, our family, our children, our brothers and sisters, and now we go up the father's ladder. That's what happens in Yesh Noklim. And we have our father's siblings, which are our uncles and aunts. And then we have our mother's siblings. And then we have our uncle and aunt's children, which are cousins. So basically the rule is that we follow the priority list of Yerusha. And again, as we said before, we go through relatives to the father. So if you have a choice between your uncle through your father or your uncle through your mother, your uncle through your father would come first, and then your uncle through your mother. The same is true for aunts. And in cousins, again, we would go through the father first and then through the mother. Now there's a fascinating halacha here which I want to call to your attention, which is brought down in the Shach in Siman Resh Mem Zayin, and that is based on a Gemara about Rabbi Yossi, who gave tzedakah and supported his ex-wife, his divorcee. And that's very interesting, because the Shach assumes that once you've been married to someone, even after a divorce, you still have some sort of feeling of a relative to that person that expresses itself in Dinei Tzedakah. So I'm not sure how high up on the list of relatives the Shach would place one's ex-wife. I would certainly think it would be, in terms of relatives, towards the bottom of the list. Okay, so we've gone through pretty much the list of relatives, and then we're going to ask who gets kedima after relatives. The only case that's not relative that we discussed was the case of a Rebbe. Now, I just want to point out to you that when we spoke about parents who are in need, not only is there a mitzvah of tzedakah, but in addition, there's a mitzvah of kibud avaim. So when we're dealing with tzedakah for parents, it's not just a question of can I give and should I give, but it's I must give. It's an absolute obligation. And the same thing should apply logically to grandparents. Now, you have two sets of grandparents. Once again, if we apply the laws of Yerusha, then we're going to give to our grandparents, our paternal grandparents, before we give to our maternal grandparents. In the case of older children, it seems from Rav Moshe Feinstein's tshuva that one is obligated as a parent to support his teenage children, because usually in our society young men and women don't go to work, they have no income until they're 18 or maybe even older, and therefore if it becomes obligatory upon the parent to support his children in our time beyond the age of 6, maybe even beyond the age of 16, then you cannot use Maaser Ksavim for that. But when we talk about children and the priority, we're talking about older children. And many of us who have married off our children know that children need help from their parents. And that could be for any number of reasons, but very often because the children are pursuing their education. And in that case, since you're using monies as a parent to help your children who have financial challenges, that money could come from Maaser Ksavim. There's no need to be super pious about that and feel guilty. And on the contrary, parents come first, grandparents and parents, but then adult children would come right behind them, even before brothers and sisters. So your brother needs money and help, and your son needs money of help. Your son is old enough, he has a family, he's on his own, but yet, if he has needs, he comes before your own brother. And that's a fascinating halacha. And I would say that the same halacha should apply to grandchildren. If grandchildren have needs, and that's very, very common, then they would come right up there before brothers and sisters. But right after grandchildren, then we get into brothers and sisters, and then we lunge out to the other relatives. Now, if you take a look in Yoredeya Simon Reish Nun Aleph, the Shulchan Aruch codifies in Sif Gimel that your paternal brother, your Achiv Bin Av, comes before your maternal brother, and that we saw already in the Sifri. And the same thing would apply, I think, in Dine Yerusha. So that's a parallel to Yerusha. Now, what about your wife's relatives? As we indicated before, that's a question about your in-laws, or some people call them their outlaws. The Piskei Tshuva here in Reish Nun Aleph quotes the Maram, who says, in the name of Maram Mimins, that Krovei Ishto Yesh Liten Lahem Ke'aniye Iro, that the status of your wife's relatives is equal to that of Aniye Iro, which would mean that they don't have a special status on the relative list. They may come first if they live in the same city as you, but if it's a choice between them and some rachok who's not related to you, a non-relative who lives in a different city, it's not clear how the Piskei Tshuva would go in such a case, because he seems to equate them with Aniye Ircha. Now, right this second, I don't have access to the Derech Emunah of Reb Chaim Kanevsky. He seems to address this question as well, and the assumption is that one should certainly have an additional mitzvah of Kvod Chamiv, and we saw that the Gemara derives this. The Chazal establishes special Chiv Kavod towards one's in-laws. And as we said earlier, once you have another mitzvah that kicks in, it's not just pure tztaka, that would give kedima. So I would say that according to those more, shall we say, contemporary poskim who address the issue of supporting one's in-laws, I think those in-laws would come on the list of relatives, although maybe down on the list, but nevertheless on the list of relatives, certainly before non-relatives. Now, within non-relatives, we can break it down to the following categories. The first category, of course, are close friends. You know, close friend of yours, you have a special mitzvah of avas reim, he relies on you within the context and the framework of friendship, and this is codified in the Chochmas Adam, but I tell you, here you have to use Seichel HaYoshar. If Aniye Ircha is a category, then certainly Reim, you have a close friend, that comes first. I would put a close friend on the top of the list of non-relatives. And right underneath that, I would say Aniye Ircha. Now, within Aniye Ircha, there's a chiddush here in the Shulchan Aruch and in the Ramban, again in Reish Nun Aleph, that your neighbors come first. You know, as you look at the immediate shchuna and then the mavoi, which is a larger area, that you really break up the city into its component parts. It could be that you naturally assume you have a closer relationship and connection to those who are your neighbors, you know, live in the same building as you or next door. But then we go on to Aniye Ircha, and then we go on to Aniye Eretz Yisrael. The Shulchan Aruch has Aniye Eretz Yisrael in Siman Reish Nun Aleph, which is a siman that we've been quoting over and over again, and it's based on the Sifri that we started with. And the Nosei Kelim on the Shulchan Aruch claim that Aniye Iro Kodmim L'Aniye Eretz Yisrael. In other words, there is a special mitzvah to support those who dwell in Eretz Yisrael, but that doesn't trump the mitzvah or the priority of Aniye Ircha. And that was the simple pshat that we thought in the Sifri. The Sifri has Aniye Ircha earlier on the list than Aniye Eretz Yisrael. And the reason for that is because Aniye Ircha is already a halach in Tztaka. If there's a din kadima within Tztaka, that certainly trumps any other additional considerations. So, although it's great to have a chelik in Eretz Yisrael and in Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, but Aniye Ircha Kodmin is halacha in Tztaka, and therefore it comes first. Now, there's a fascinating tshuva of the Chasam Sofer who claims that within Eretz Yisrael, the Aniye Yerushalayim take precedence. And that's a fascinating halacha, which really needs to be proven. Why does Yerushalayim get a special status? We do know that there's Kedushas Yerushalayim, there may be a separate mitzvah of Yishuv Yerushalayim to make it a beautified city. And therefore, if vicariously I get a part of that dwelling of somebody who I'm supporting and he's living in Yerushalayim, that's a special status. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach has a question about what's the status of the new city of Yerushalayim, the old city of Yerushalayim. Is there any difference within the context of Yerushalayim? According to Chasam Sofer, if we're talking about a special mitzvah of dwelling in Yerushalayim, and we know that the Mishnah Ksubas establishes that a spouse can demand of his or her spouse that they live in Yerushalayim, no matter where they're living, that they move to Yerushalayim. I don't know if that applies to the new city. You have to see if it has the Kedushas Yerushalayim. Of course, there are sugyas and shvuas about how to extend Yerushalayim. And then we have the general category of poor people who live anywhere on the face of the earth. They're not in your city. They are not in Eretz Yisrael. They don't live in Yerushalayim. And here the question is, what if the person who's not related to you comes from a far-off city, but yet he's a Talmud Chacham? So, for example, there are two Aniyim, both are from far off cities, neither have related to you. One's a Talmud Chacham, and one's not a Talmud Chacham. So, in this case, it's clear, based now we have to kick in the Sugi and Horios, that Talmud Chacham gets Kedima. But how far, how powerful is that Din Kedima? For example, let's say there's an Ani that lives in a far off city, he's a Talmud Chacham. You have an Ani in your city, locally, he's Aniye Ircha, but he's not a Talmud Chacham. How do we balance all this? So it would seem that Aniye Ircha Kodemes, even though he's not a Talmud Chacham, as we said, that's halacha in Kedimas Tzedakah. That's a Tzedakah halacha. That's derived from the pasuk itself in Re'eh, the mitzvah of Tzedakah. So the Pischei Tshuva addresses this issue here in Shulchan Aruch Reish Nun Aleph. And he also quotes a tshuva from the Shemesh Utztaka. And this seems to be, what shall I say, well accepted by all the poskim, that Aniye Ircha Kodemes, even without the added Talmud Chacham attribute, even though someone else coming from a far-off city is a Talmud Chacham. Okay. One of the questions that we raised is whether or not we are allowed to set aside miser money for the future. And I was fascinated by this question because they quote the Igros Moshe on this, and I have in front of me a sefer called The Laws of Tzedakah and Miser by Rabbi Shimon Taub. And if you take a look on page 57, he's got a footnote here, number 34, and he also has footnote number 32, which is also a quote of the Igros Moshe. Echad sherotza lisa isha and he's not yet married, but he foresees down the line needs that will come into being. That too allows him to take tztaka. So I have my six off and I'm giving it to someone who doesn't need it now. It's not pressing, it's not urgent, but he will need it down the line. And basically he's receiving this money in order to set it aside for later use. And nevertheless, Rav Moshe says that comes under the mitzvah of tzedakah. So therefore, if you have a relative, for example, who comes to collect tzedakah from you, and you know he's ready to get married, ready to set up a family, he needs the money for the future, then you can take miser money and give it to him, even though right now he's not going to use the money. Okay, fine. Now, let's talk about the flip side of that discussion. Namely, priorities not in terms of the recipient, but rather priorities in terms of the cause, the needs. And obviously what we're going to put top on our list is what we call pikuach nefesh. And the Gemara says in Sanhedrin that if you see someone drowning and you can't jump in yourself, you could hire someone else. You spend your very last dime to bring in lifesavers to save a Jewish life. That, for sure, in the laws of tzedakah, of spending money, comes top on your list. The mitzvah of hatzolos nefashos, v'chai bohem, that's number one. But that's not usually the issue that's pressing to us. But rather we have two aniyim, and we followed pretty much the list of kedima, meaning they're all equal. The question is the need. If they both need food, they both need clothing, then again, we have to follow the law of kedima. And if we can't follow the law of kedima, they're both from the same city, they're not related, blah, blah, blah. They're both from a far-off city, and they're not related. Then perhaps whoever comes first is ein mavir nala mitzvahs. But if one of these two aniyim has a pressing need, for example, he needs food, whereas the other fellow needs clothing, so the Bi'ur HaGra in Siman Reish Nun Aleph says that based on the Yerushalmi at the end of Horios, we apply the following rule. Ha'ish kodim le'isha, but that's only lahachyos. So again, if it's bikuach nefesh situation, we're going to go out and save the woman first. Otherwise, if it's a question of, I'm sorry, we're going to set, if it's a bikuach nefesh situation of pigeon shvuyim, the man comes first. But if it's a question of tzedakah, we're going to give the woman first, and we'll, believe it, we'll come back to this. If it's a question of food versus ksus versus clothing, then obviously food comes first. Chayev lahaktim, and this is also the psak of the Shulchan Aruch, lahachil haraev milachasos ha'arum. First comes feeding someone who's hungry, and then comes clothing the naked. And this is derived from the famous sugya of Nochum Ish Gamzu, that he wasn't quick enough to give someone who was starving, and that person died, and then Nochum Gamzu lived a life of penitence, of suffering, in order to do tshuva. So when it comes to mizonos, somebody who claims he needs food to eat, and perhaps we should rely on him without even checking him out in that case, he gets precedence, if all other things are equal. And again, we're not talking about pikuach nefesh. So therefore, let's say what happens in a case where you have an ani who lives in your city. He only needs money for clothing. You have an ani who lives in a different city. He needs money for food. Then in that case, give the ani who needs food first, even though he is coming from a different city. Because again, we're talking about the laws of tzedaka now. We're not adding in some other laws. We're not talking about hatzolos nefashos now. But money that's going to be earmarked for food takes precedence over money that's earmarked for clothing, even in a case of aniye ir acheres versus aniye ircha. But the ir acheres needs food. He comes first. Now, we're talking about two aniyim who are non-relatives. You know, the situation changes, and we've mentioned this in the past, if one of these two people is your relative. So for example, if your karov comes from a far out city and he's only asking for food for clothing, you have a non-relative who comes from your city and he's asking for money for food, then in such a case, your relatives comes first. And you'll see this in the Avos HaChesed of the Chofetz Chaim in the first Chelek Perek Vav, and you'll see it in many other tshuvas, that when it comes to your relative trumps, gets first priority, even though he's only asking for clothing, money for clothing. Someone else who's not your relative is asking for money for food. And yet, when one's relative is in need of clothing, even though someone else who's not a relative is needing a food, you give first to your relative. That's the power of krovim, of umivsar chaltis alim, when it comes to tzedakah. Again, as we said before, a woman comes before a man in tzedakah. I'm not talking about pidyon shvuyim now, in a life-threatening situation. That's more complicated. And we spoke about a Talmud Chacham. The Talmud Chacham gets kedima if we assume that all things are equal. So again, aniye ircha will take precedence even though the aniyim in your city are not talmidei chacham, the aniyim in the other city are talmidei chacham. So we give kedima to a talmid chacham if they both are on the same level. Let's say they're both aniye ircha, or neither of them are aniye ircha. And the Ramah paskins this halacha in Reish Nun Aleph Sif Tes. You can ask the question, what happens if the Talmud Chacham is asking for clothing, and the Amoretz, who's ignorant, he's asking for food? And my impression is that the one who's asking for food will come first, even though he's an Amoretz. If everything is equal, they're both Amoretz, or both Talmidei Chachamim, and we can't determine that one Talmud Chacham is greater than the other, they both come from the same city, or they both come from cities that are far away, neither of them are your relatives, so what do you do now? L'chori, you have no din of kedima at all. And here's where the Rambam kicks in. You remember I mentioned earlier that the Rambam dedicates the entire 8th parak of Matnas Aniyim to the issue of kedima, and here's where the Rambam says that we basically take the sugi at the end of Horios and we apply it here. And the sugi at the end of Horios, which addresses the issue of kedima in Pidyon Shvuyim, says that a Kohen comes before a Levi, and a Levi comes before a Yisrael. And the list goes on and on. The sugya there is very complicated, because you can talk about someone who's miyuchas, someone who's not a miyuchas, he's a mamzer, he's a nosin, and so forth and so on. But there are dine kedima, and that means that a Levi comes before Yisrael. I know in our shul we don't have enough Levium to go around. A Levi is very precious. Levium were dedicated to work the service in the Beis HaMikdash. And even though we don't have any Beis HaMikdash, and you ask the question, so what's special about a Levi? Nevertheless, the poskim say that when it comes to our chiyu versus vis-a-vis this person, the Levi gets kedima even today, and we hope that tomorrow the Beis HaMikdash will be built, and the Levi will go back to do his avoda. And therefore, the Levi has an inherent status which gives him precedence in receiving tzedakah. And the language is very interesting. Misha asa lecha tova kodem lemisha lo asa lecha tova. Someone who did you a favor comes first. In other words, if all things are equal, you owe him a favor, give him tzedakah. Misha asa lecha ra kodem lemisha asa lecha tova leman yisur hasinu v'yigdal av ben yisrael v'yar v'sholom. It's very interesting that if somebody did you a favor, he gets precedence over someone who didn't do you a favor. But someone who did you evil, he gets precedence over someone who did you a tova. And that's the way that we can overcome a natural sin towards someone who did us evil. And this is all based on the parasha of Priko Teino, where the Torah says, Oyvecha comes first. Again, Aloch Lamaisa, if you had a situation that sort, I would certainly tell you to ask a posek. But the fundamental abstract rule is that someone who did you ra gets precedence over someone who did you tova. Fascinating. Now, in terms of the seder of the sugya of Horios, as we said, it's very complicated. Most of those on the list in Horios did not apply bisman hazeh. Melech, Kohen Gadol, and even within Kohen Gadol, there are different categories. There's Mashuach Melchama, there's Merubah Begadim, there's Mashuach Sha'avar, there's Kohen Gadol Sha'avar Machmas Mum, then you get down to a Navi, then you have the Kohen Mashuach Melchama, the Skan Kohen, the Skan of the Skan. There's a whole long list of people here that served in the Beis HaMikdash. But at the bottom of the list, you have Kohen Hejot, followed by Levi, followed by Yisrael, followed by a Cholol, that's a Kohen who's disqualified as a Kohen because of his Yichus. There's a Suki, which we don't know who his father is, and a Sufi, we don't know his mother. Then you have Mamzer and Nosin, and Ger Mitzri, and Adomi, Ger Amoni, Vimoavi, Evid Meshuchar, Evid Shaina Meshuchar. It goes on and on and on. Reb Chaim Kanevsky has a whole section on this in the 8th chapter of his Derech Amuna. So anyone who's interested in getting a real detailed priority list for non-relatives who don't live in your city, then he is referred to the Derech Amuna. Now, besides the situation of Pikuach Nefesh, just this is in general about how you should divvy up your monies, you should know that if we're not dealing with Pikuach Nefesh, the next thing on the list is the supporting of Torah. And this is very important in our days and in our times, especially in the climate in Eretz Yisrael, when yeshiva bachim are coming under the gun. And I mean, tarte mashba, there's so much flack and discussion about this. I would say it's important to emphasize that the Torah sees the support for students of Torah as something very primary, and therefore within the halachas of kedima, we're no longer talking about relatives, we're no longer talking about members of your city, we're not talking about Pikuach Nefesh, then the next thing online is Torah study. A lot of people think that that when people come around to collect for a Yesoma, and they call it Achnasas Kala, that takes high precedence, but no, it's not so. In Halacha, the study of Torah takes precedence by far over Hachnasas Kala. And then afterwards we get to medical needs. I know we're not talking about Pikuach Nefesh now, but medical needs, that comes next. So if an organization is collecting for the poor who have medical needs, they get pretty high priority. And then there's the responsibility to the shul. You know, you're part of a community. You owe a responsibility, a debt to your community. They make Misha Berachs, they make appeals in the shul, they want to build the shul, or they need to expand the shul. I'm not talking about just to enhance a shul, but to really build a shul, that's up there. And then after that, you go into the general patpori, the general klal of tzorchei aniyim, the needs of aniyim, whether it's hachnasas kala, whatever it might be, and that's that. Okay, well, I think we'll stop here. I mean, it's not like we finished everything, but we did make we made some progress over here. I mean, there are different stuckers and funds and different mitzvahs that you would fulfill. And it's interesting that a lot of these dinim of kedima, according to the poskim, apply even when you're giving out kibudim. I remember my son made a bris recently, and the question is who to give tzedakos to, and so forth, which honors to give out. And the study of this parsha, this section of tztok of kedima, is also relevant halacha lemaisa in that issue. There's a whole tshuva in the Chacham Tzvi about this, that if you have a mitzvah, you could be mezaka one of your krovim to a mitzvah, as opposed to achirim, who are non-relatives, krovim kodim. So you see that even in being mezaka mitzvahs, there is a din of kedima for krovim, which parallels this din of kedima in Hilchas Tzedakah. Thank you.